look at the Atlas, Mongolia really is the centre of Asia. And when you study history, you find all the hordes of Huns and everybody else that came right through BC. And Mongolia has always been the centre, like a linchpin. So we chose Mongolia because God chose it. And to be the linchpin to outreach into Russia, into China, and Kazakhstan, etc. And so this is our third time as a team to go. There were six of us on the team, and three that had been before, and three new ones. Yeah, so it's quite nice. It was springtime, which means that it snows one day, and next it's 13 degrees the next day. So it, that's the weather. So we've got a big zip-up thing, hoodie and everything. But that's not what the important thing is. We did it's a healing mission for healing the heart. Things like fears and things like that that people have got along in their lives, things like traumas and so on. And there's a place there for trauma, for sure. Things that have happened along the way in their history and in their nation. And they've just had a mighty, last November, they've had a mighty Christian outreach. And they ran the play called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And it's about, you know, somebody coming to Heaven's Gate. Are you in the Book of Life? If you're not, Satan grabs you and takes you into hell. It's pretty graphic. But anyway, that's just a quick overview. So about 900 people gave their lives to Jesus and directed to churches in the city. 146 churches in the city, all combined for it. It was awesome. The church that we work with at the moment, the guy there is the head evangelist for Mongolia. He goes into villages and takes 100 people with him. They door knock everybody and every house, and then they have a concert. And through the concert, a couple of young women who are followers of Jesus give their time, and then he preaches and leads people to Christ. It's a bit like it was in Australia some years ago. These days, it tends not to be the way for us to do open air evangelism, but there it's pretty good. So we stepped in, you know, with that sort of atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. So we had about 40, 50 people in the free to live in the church building. We went over 3 days, and at the end we prayed for people to be healed and saw some good things that, through testimonies, people talking to there, God healed me of this and that and so on. And that was really spectacular. But the I guess for me the icing on the cake was that last year, I prayed for a man who is he'd been 6 years as a homeless man. Now, if you're homeless in Mongolia, it means you have to get through the minus 40 winter. And how do you, as a street person, how do you get through the minus 40 winter? Drinking lots of vodka, of course. Alcohol, drugs, everything else. After 6 years, he's a little fella, like this typical Mongolian from the early days of Genghis Khan. They're the same shape. Cross the chest big, legs like this, strong as a bull but short. And that's him, and he's very great tenacity. And so, not a bit of wonder he weathered the storm, but in that he gave his life to Jesus. And then God led him to now have a men's retreat or a men's rehab. And last year when we were there, like I prayed for him and he got healed miraculously really last year. And went and told everybody, all the church leaders and so on, and everybody rejoiced. So this year there were 40 men in the rehab at the moment, and of course once spring comes and it gets warm, the men go out, except for those that are Christians really. So he said last year, when you come back, he said, I want you to come and bring the same thing to our men who really, really need the touch of the Lord to bring healing to their lives. And any Christian men really need Jesus. And non-Christian men, I should say. And so that was the privilege to drive 2 hours outside the city of Ulaanbaatar and go to this place. And you wouldn't pass this man at all in the street. In fact, many Westerners have come over there, heard about what he's doing, and come in and sort of top down over him. You know, you need to do this, you need to do that. But nobody ever asked him, what does he do? He's actually finishing a PhD, world first on homeless men.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's the one they should be coming to find out things rather than telling what to do. Isn't it funny how from the West we can boss around too much? Anyway, the day what we do at Free to Live can be, you know, even go a week, like in Africa. But all we have is a day from 10 till 4. And so we shared, I kicked off and shared my testimony because I came out of alcohol, a broken marriage, similar to a lot of the men, tried to take my own life, as you know my story some time ago. But it relates to their story. So then they suddenly realised that, oh, this white fella is like us. And so I shared mine, another Richard came with me, he also shared his testimony, and then we taught some subjects like, you know, wounds and scars of the past, how they change, can, you know, stop the victory of Christ in your life, and confession of sin, forgiveness, that was the big one. And that's where we stopped. And at the end of that, I thought, God, what are we going to do? Because this really is for Christians, not for non-Christians. How many non-Christians are in this 30 men? So I said, well, who's given their life to Jesus? And half the men put their hands up. And I thought, okay, Lord, what do we do now? And the team looked at me and went, go ahead, Richard, you know. So I felt that I had access, you know, God was giving me access to stand up and proclaim the gospel of the Lord. So I just shared a bit more of my testimony and said, without Jesus, you can't do anything. You guys who, 15 of them today, you need Jesus. You can't go on without Jesus in the world today. Maybe you could in the West and so on where we've come from, but you can't really in the end because you won't have hope and things like that. And so I saw a couple of ladies stood up because there were about four ladies and they walked out and I thought, oh, okay, you maybe don't like Jesus. And so that just led them to Christ. The simple sharing our testimony, saying, where are you going to go? I found him. You know, it took a knife to my body, but he still took hold of my life and all those things. He said, who wants to give your life to Jesus today? And 15 men put their hands up, just like that. Yeah. So we could then proceed, because part of our process is that where the devil has brought suppression or repression in people's lives, and they can't get out of that. They can, you know, they're born again, but this suppression is still holding them back, like these guys. And yeah, so we prayed for that and bound that the enemy up and told him to go, which he did. Yeah. And then we had testimonies at the end. All glory to God. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, so praise the Lord. So it was worthwhile going. And thank you for your prayers, which are a great support in prayer behind us. We can't do these things without it. And I'd like to be able to show you some photos someday. But yeah, after our meeting one day in the future. Anyway, can we just thank you, Lord?
Amen.
You ready? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Hallelujah. Thank you for saving all these men, Lord, that are hopeless and full of all sorts of things, but now they're full of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.